Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap this morning for what He did in 2018. Wow. I watched that video and I see the faithfulness of God. And I'm just reminded of what I've already said this morning. That when you move, God moves too. I said, when you move, God moves too. This morning, I'm going to be challenging you to move one more time. To move financially, to move in service, and to move in prayer, to move in serving our community, to reaching out to others, to serve in evangelism, to serve in missions. And I want you to know that every time you are challenged this morning in one area of your life, I want to challenge you to move. Because when you move, God moves too. How many want to see God move in your life? Then you move and according to His will and His word. And when you move, He will move too. As we look forward to this year, I know we're 2 months into it almost. But in 2019, I want to share with you today a little bit about our vision the Lord's really laid up on my heart. You know, 15 months ago, I came to be your pastor. And someone asked me during our very first Sunday here, they said, "Pastor, what's your vision of the church?" And I think my response was something like this: I don't even know where the toilet paper is. So don't ask me what I think or that I'm not going to pretend to know what God has in store for this church. And here's the deal. I still don't know what all God has in store for this church. But I know the best is yet to come. And the Lord has been downloading into our hearts, into the leadership hearts. And I basically spent the last 15 months listening to two different voices. I've been listening to your voice, the voice of the church, figuring out where we've been, where we are. But I've been listening to the voice of God. That's more about not where we've been or where we are, but where does He want us to go? And so this morning, I want to share with you a little bit about where does God want us to go? Remembering that when we move, God moves too. And there's a statement I want us to focus on for this year, for 2019. This is a statement I'm asking every ministry, every department, starting today, every small group, every life group, every interest group to understand. We're going to rally around this statement. Here's the statement: because people matter to God, we will be a catalyst of spiritual transformation in Cabot, Arkansas, in Central Arkansas, and the world. Amen? We're going to change the world we live in because people matter to God. How many know that people matter to God? Do you know that your people matter to God? Pastor, what do you mean by your people? Your people, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter. And if we're going to be a catalyst of spiritual transformation, shouldn't that start at home? Shouldn't that start in the four walls we live in, whether we're single and or whether we're married or whether maybe you're an empty nester today? We've got to be, because people matter to God, we can't just exist. We've got to move. We've got to move in a way that God moves too, because we've stepped out. And a catalyst, you may see that word and that may be kind of fuzzy to you. Here's what that word catalyst means. It simply is an agent that increases the rate of transformation. In other words, it speeds up the change that's happening. Now, when you walked in the room this morning, there was a set of notes on your seat cushion, and I'm already filling in some of those blanks for you this morning if you didn't catch that. So I challenge you to follow along with me, because I'm going to ask you today to take that note card home with you and either put it in your Bible or put it in your refrigerator, whichever one you'll see the most, and keep that up as a reminder this year of what God's put in our heart, that we will be a catalyst of spiritual transformation in this world. And so we've been talking about it. In Matthew chapter 5, this is the scripture I want to share with you today. It says this: that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. See, that's a transforming agent. That's a catalyst. It changes things. You're the light of the world. You're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone.
In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your heavenly Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father, I pray that this morning as we just listen to your word, as we listen to your spirit, as we listen to different staff members the next few moments, remind us on how we can be a catalyst individually. And then we rally around at the end of the service how we can be a catalyst around the world corporately. God, I pray you'll awaken our hearts to hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, anoint me and each of these staff members with the supernatural Holy Spirit anointing to speak what the Word of God wants to speak through them. And we'll give you thanks and praise for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. So God has planted us as a church in Cabot. Matter of fact, we've got a map there for you. And on that map, if you'll look in that, I think it's the upper right-hand corner there, you can see, you'll see our church. It's sort of the bigger life there. And there you go, right there. And so God's planted us in a cabin. We're supposed to be a catalyst. We are the light into the world, as our light into our city. But it's not just us as a church. Guys, we're at the next slide. We're also each of our families represent a catalyst, a light, a change agent. So we started putting those little dots of light everywhere we know that some of our people live. And I know some of you live so far away that you're not on the map, but we thank God for you because we know God can use you to be a catalyst in Conway and Valonia and North Little Rock and Sherwood and Lone Oak and all these other places you drive to our church to be. We know that God has positioned you there too. And then the next slide has different places we work, because many of you live here, but you drive 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour. But just like God told Abraham, everywhere your feet goes, that's property I'm giving you. I believe that everywhere your feet goes is a place where God wants you to be a catalyst of spiritual transformation. In other words, when you leave that 9-to-5 job, the people you leave behind should be different after being around you day after day and year after year. We're supposed to be a catalyst to those places. And as a church, we're saying in 2019 and beyond, we will be that catalyst. We will be the light in the dark place. We will be that city set up on a hill, because everywhere God has planted you and everywhere God has planted me is a place that we can bring spiritual transformation. Well, Pastor, how can I, just a normal believer, how can I, as an ordinary Christ follower, be used by God to bring supernatural change in my family first, in our community second, in our region third, and in our world fourth? How can God use me? Well, we're preaching 8 core values this year. We've already talked about a couple of those. We spent all of January talking about how to be powerful in prayer. We're speaking this month about how to build strong families. We'll be back on that next week. Next month, we're talking about how to live a spirit-driven life. Each of these 8 core values we're preaching our way through. If we will commit ourselves to let the Lord move in our lives and value the things that He values, not only will God change you, God will use you to change others. So we're going to give you a crash course real quick on these 8 core values. So I want to ask Danetta if you'll come. She's going to lead us in these 8 core values. If you got your notes, you can start filling them in so you'll be able to follow along.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are powerful in prayer when we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land." You know, we as the Assembly family came together at the beginning of the year for a week of prayer. We focused on God in our personal prayer and in corporate prayer. And as we pray and commit to focus on Him and on our daily lives, it changes things. We need to pray each day. As we feed our physical bodies with food and water, we must feed our spiritual souls with God's word and prayer, because prayer emboldens you. It empowers you. You know, we are here for a purpose, and that is to share the hope and the truth of Jesus Christ. He changed us and took the broken pieces of our lives and put them together. And He's continuing to work in our lives to make us more like Him. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When you focus on God and you make him a priority, it changes things. We have got to be kingdom minded. There is a world, our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, the people that we meet in the grocery store, they need the hope and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says in, Matthew 24:42, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So let's be vigilant and let's be powerful in prayer to reach our community and be that catalyst, because the best is yet to come. Turn your attention.
We're going to turn our attention to the video with Double D now.
Have you ever thought what it would take to have a strong family? Okay, maybe put up the guns like that. Nobody laughing. Okay. I'm not talking about being physically strong, but I'm talking about being spiritually strong. Well, all of us here at the assembly, we want to help you accomplish that. Now, the thing is, you're going to have to do your part. If you do that, we promise to do our part. That's why we're building strong families as one of our core values. It reminds me of a guy by the name of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Now, what's so incredible about him, he was a Gentile. He was a non-Jewish person, kind of like a lot of us in here. But what was so great is that God noticed him and his family. And the Bible said that they were devout. They were devoted to God. It was incredible when you read more about it. But you know what? We can be that strong family as well, too. Now, if you read a little bit more in verse 2, you'll see something there that is really important, because Cornelius, he gave generously to the poor and he prayed regularly. Now, see, as a father, that's our part. Or as a mother, that's what we should be doing. We should be setting that example for our kids and for our family to follow. Well, all of us here at the assembly, just like I said, we're going to do our part, and we're going to do our part well for you. We have excellent ministries here to help you accomplish that. We have an incredible kids ministry. We have a youth ministry that will challenge your teens to grow closer to Christ. Listen to the worship y'all just had. We have an incredible worship time. Pastor's preaching is great. His teaching on Wednesday night. We have life groups. We have interest groups. We have young adult classes. We even have discipleship groups for our 5th and 6th graders and for our teenagers. We're determined here to help you build strong families. If you get into a situation, you're like, man, I need a little bit more help to accomplish this, let one of us know. We're here to help you, to partner with you, to help you to build strong families.
Okay, the point that I have today is that we as a church will be spirit-driven. Now, I know that sounds kind of super spiritual, and we're like, whoa, what is that? Well, at another time, we will unpack that deeper next month coming up with our Holy Spirit conference. And so you'll want to come and check that out. But for today, I just want to give you a little tangible information to go home while you guys are in student prep mode and work this week and go and be that light like Pastor had up on the map for us. So we're going to turn in our word to the verse in John 14:26 that says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will bring to you the remembrance of all that I have said to you. Now, this is in red in your Bible to be a this is in red, which means that Jesus said these words. So let's break this down. To why we need to be a spirit-led church. Well, simply put, the way Jesus describes the Holy Spirit, a helper. I don't know about you all, but I need a helper, okay? So some of your translations may say a comforter. It may say a friend. May say an advocate. In order for our church to be a spirit-led church in 2019, we need the help, the comfort, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the second part of that verse says that he's going to teach us. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to figure this out on my own, okay? Because the Holy Spirit will teach when I'm reading my Bible. And maybe I'm kind of confused, don't know what that means. You know, he's going to help me. He's going to show that to me. Okay, maybe there's a friend that needs help. I'm not really quite sure, what do I say? How do I lead them? What do I do? That's the Holy Spirit. He will help you in those situations. You don't have to figure all of this out. That's his job. Okay? And maybe we feel like we're out of our comfort zone. Well, I just have to tell you that I'm standing in my out of comfort zone right now. But I'm loving it through the Holy Spirit, okay? For our church to be that Spirit-led church of 2019, in order to do that, we need to be relational, okay? We need to become relational with all of our fellow church people and the people that God puts in our paths, okay, that maybe don't go here. We need to forgive them, we need to love them, and we need to pray for them. We just simply pray, Spirit, help me, lead me, comfort me right now, walk with me throughout my day, okay? And the Spirit will speak. He'll speak by that little nudging. Maybe you need to call that person. Maybe let's say a prayer for them. Maybe just check in, see how they're doing. That's the Holy Spirit. Maybe you hand them a church card, invite them to church. Maybe you deliver them cookies, go out with the evangelism team, or a simple smile. To be the Spirit-led church, don't second guess. Just do it. If it's something that will build up the church or the kingdom, or it's something that Jesus or God would do, then just do it.
Good morning. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When given the task of speaking briefly on the core value that we will be generous givers, a request was made to select a verse for us to stand on. You may question, what does Romans 10:17 have to do with giving? On March 10th, 2002, in Lorain, Ohio, I walked through a set of church doors. I sat in a climate-controlled sanctuary, and the word of God was preached. The Holy Spirit quickly moved on my heart, and every word that the pastor spoke was just for me. As if he had access to view my entire life story, it was that day in that church building that my faith was established and my life was forever changed. I'm not able to express how incredibly grateful I am to all those who went before me and gave of their finances and their resources to build that building. To those who I did have the privilege to know, that helped fund the amazing children's ministry that excited my son to come back every week. I am thankful for the rooms that were built to host Bible study that birthed my love for the Word of God. I am especially grateful for those that continued giving so that my pastor did not have to be bivocational, that allowed him the time to be at my side at the death and funeral of a loved one. Now, in 2019, here in Arkansas, I find myself expressing the same gratitude to you and all of those who have gone before us, that gave financially and sowed into this church, allowing this building to be constructed and maintained. I am once again blessed to have my daughters grow and be discipled under an exciting and powerful children's ministry. I am thankful to all of you who are giving that allows our pastors and staff of this house the freedom to mentor and counsel others and be there in your time of need. I am also thankful for those who give to missions, as our church building is not the only place people can hear the word of God. We get the privilege to help and send and support others to reach people that may never hear the gospel and be introduced to a new way of life. Not just international missionaries that we support, but as well as the local missions we support through Options Pregnancy Center, Teen Challenge, and Chi Alpha. They too are reaching and connected with people that we may never have the opportunity to reach. The Assembly made huge leaps from 2017 to 18 in its giving. And in 2019, through your continued generosity, we cannot just keep these doors open, but we can function at a level of excellence that draws people in. We can reach the nations and those in our community in a greater way with our finances and watch how God uses what we have in ways beyond what we can imagine. Thank you for your financial gifts to this house that allow people, a person such as myself, to come and sit and hear the word of God and have the opportunity to receive Jesus by faith. The assembly will be generous givers, not just for this generation, but for future generations, a home to learn and grow in the knowledge of Jesus.
Here at the assembly, we are determined to help you become biblically fluent. The word fluent tells us that we should be able to speak and live what the Word of God says. Becoming biblically fluent does not mean that you have to memorize every word, but it is about creating permanent values and comprehending what the Word of God is saying. In Joshua 1:8, the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, "Study this book of instruction continually and meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do." So what if we did just that? In Kids Church, we teach your kids to bring their Bible, open it, and read what the Word of God is teaching us and how to apply it to their lives. We want everyone to be able to do this. So don't be afraid to ask questions. You can learn something new from the same scripture, and we want to be able to help you grow in God's Word. This will create a passion and a craving to learn more. The Lord made Joshua a great leader. The Israelites revered him just as much as they revered Moses. And why? Because Joshua did what the Lord told him to do. God isn't just asking Joshua to study his word continually. He also wants us to, so we can all prosper and succeed in all that we do.
Amen, right? Amen. The next core value that we wanted to highlight today is that we will be equipped for ministry, right? We will be equipped to reach our city, and we'll be equipped to reach those that are around us. I wanted to talk just a little bit further about Joshua, and as Natalie explained and introduced to you, Joshua took on a huge task of leading the nation of Israel, and he took over kind of after Moses passed on. And he starts out in Joshua 1, God is giving instruction to Joshua to be equipped for the work that he has asked him to complete. He said, "Be strong, very courageous. Be careful to obey my law, my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." So the first thing is to be equipped for ministry. We've got to know God's word. We've got to be able to lean and be on that foundation of God's word, knowing what it is that he wants us to do. As Natalie said, we have to be equipped with our Bible in order to be ministers of our Bible. The second thing is that he was equipped for ministry by being obedient to what God had asked him to do. Just as we were talking about earlier about being driven and led by the Holy Spirit, that this is what that is. That Holy Spirit directing you and guiding you and being equipped for ministry means we say yes. And we push forward with what God has asked us to do, obedient to his word. We meditate on that word day and night. We do not stray from it, not to the left and not to the right. Joshua was given clear, specific instructions about where to go. But Moses was also given those instructions. But Moses didn't listen and he didn't obey. And that left him wandering in a wilderness 40 years, going in a circle. Let's learn our lesson and let's be obedient to the Holy Spirit and the walk of God in our lives, that we can push forward and lead our Cabot nation, lead our calling into what God has promised and fulfilled for them to do. Last, we've got to be obedient, fully trusting the Lord. We've got to know that we weren't asked to do this on our own, right? We weren't asked to lead or to walk forward by ourselves, but rather he said, "Do not be afraid, for I will be with you. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. No, I will not forsake you. Be strong, be courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to them and to their ancestors." To be fully equipped for God's purpose, we've got to understand that it takes God, that we can't take a step forward in a direction without him, but instead we choose to walk forward with God, never leaving him, but always beside him. God will not leave us or send us off on our own. He never intended for you to do this by yourself. Instead, he says, be strong, be courageous, engage in the work that he has asked for you to do, knowing that you are not alone and he will see his plan accomplished through you.
So the next core value is we will be mission focused. Right off the bat, whenever I said the word mission, a lot of you guys may have thought about people all over the world who we would consider to be unreached people groups where less than 2% of them are evangelized and there's no act of evangelism taking place. Some of you may have even thought about the missionaries who are going all over the world to reach those people. Some of you even thought about the little Ethiopian kids that you see on TV with the really big fat bellies, and for $1 you can feed them for a month. Well, that's missions. I'm here to talk to you about the mission. And that's in Mark 16:15. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That word go is a command. And that command says, get up out of your seat, stop watching and standing there and doing nothing. Instead, do something. Don't stand by and watch as your friends die to a Christless eternity. Don't stand there by the wayside and watch your coworkers make terrible decision after terrible decision after terrible decision and just let them perish. Go is the command to act on what it is that you are seeing and to make a difference. All the world doesn't necessarily mean that we have to leave our jobs and sell our homes and go overseas, although that would be a great thing if you did it. But that's not necessarily what that means. And all the world doesn't necessarily mean that we have to go to third world countries and offer medicinal help for people who don't have it. Or put clothes and shoes on the backs and feet of people that don't have those. And all the world means that when you go to your workplace or you go to the grocery store or the gas station or your school, when there's someone who is in need, we must be willing to meet that need or introduce them to the person who can. Every creature is every person because people matter to God. That it says people matter. It doesn't say a particular type of person. Every single person, every sinner, every poor man, every person who is rich or poor or healthy or sick, saint or sinner, fair, unjust, humble, wicked, kind. It doesn't matter. Every person matters to God. And because people matter to God, we will be a catalyst for spiritual transformation in Cabot, in Central Arkansas, and the world. Being mission-focused means that when we go to our workplace, we're looking for the person who has need, and we're offering them hope that comes from Jesus. Being mission-focused is about knowing when someone needs prayer and stepping outside of our box, our comfort zone, and offering it. Being mission-focused means that we're sensitive to what people are going through, and we're open to and readily available to meet that need. Being mission-focused means that when we can't go somewhere ourselves, like overseas, that we open up our pocketbooks and we send people overseas. Being mission-focused is looking outside of ourselves and outside of this church and its congregation and seeing how we can impact Cabot, Central Arkansas, and the world. And if you're here at the assembly, we can be mission-focused. We must be mission-focused. We will be mission-focused.
Amen. I'm just excited to hear everybody talk about what we are going to do, who we are going to be. I get to talk about being, we will be passionate worshipers. My favorite verse is John 4:23. Yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Have you ever talked to someone who is really passionate about something? And you might not have any interest in whatever they're talking about, but after you talk to them and they are as excited as they are about it, you kind of find yourself almost being excited about it too. And the reason that is because being passionate about something is contagious. It's catching. And God has called us to be passionate worshipers. It's more, it's so much more than just coming here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, singing our favorite songs and lifting our hands at the right moment. And it's a lifestyle of worship. His word says that he's looking for people who are passionate and authentic. And the thing is that so is this world. This world is looking for authentic, passionate people. And unfortunately, there are many, many people who are passionate about the wrong things. And it's time that God's church, God's people, become so passionate about worship that you can't help but want to enter in. You can't help but want to be a part of what's going on. We should be passionate worshipers because that's what God has called us to be. And it's not going through the motions. It's a lifestyle. So how do we do it? How do we become passionate worshipers? We engage in worship from, it never ends. Maybe when you sleep, but from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to sleep, you engage in just a fellowship with him and a worship with him. We allow God to speak into our lives, even in the mundane, monotonous, everyday things. It can still be an act of worship. Your job, what you do at your job, is an act of worship. What you do at home with your family can be an act of worship. We take time to recognize his presence in our lives. We can't help but worship him. He's so worthy of that. I saw a quote recently. I want to finish up with this. If what you do is the vehicle, then passion has to be the engine. So God, let us be passionate about who you are, passionate about worship. We will be passionate worshipers because that is who God is looking for. And that is the way that the world is going to know who he is.
Amen. Tell you what, don't we have a high caliber team here helping us do the work of ministry? Would you give all of them a hand clap this morning? So thankful for our team. So that is what, those are the core values that I believe will help you become a catalyst for spiritual transformation in your home, in your workplace, in your schoolyard, in the marketplace, as individuals. And you may be looking at those and you think, well, Pastor, you know, I'm good at one out of the eight. Well, I would say this to you. Welcome to the club. All right. You don't have to be an expert of all eight of those. But here's what I'm saying. Every time you begin to value what God values, you begin to move in valuing these values. When you move, what happens? I said, when you move, what happens? God moves. So we're moving in these values to become a catalyst. But the next question is, what about us as a church? What about us as a body? These eight values are things we value them as a church. And if you will value them personally, they will transform your life. But what are we going to do as a corporate body to be a catalyst in Central Arkansas and the world? Well, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. If you got your handout, if you want to begin to fill out these last eight things so you can pray with them beyond today, here's the first thing we're going to do is we're going to move to having 200 people serving around our church. We are looking for a total of 200 volunteers here at this assembly. Right now, we have about 157 people that serve our church on a regular basis. I preach Wednesday night. I don't have it on recording, sorry, but I just tell you what I said to the Wednesday night crowd. If you want to see miracles happen, serve. Go home this afternoon, read the very first miracle of Jesus when he turned the water into wine. The only people that saw the miracle were those who were serving. If you want to see more miracles in your life, step up and serve God. Those who serve see the miracle. Second today, we're going to continue to train the ministries and ministers of our church at a high capacity. This year we've already had the overseer of our whole fellowship come and invest in leadership. We're going to keep doing that. This year we will give 10% of our income to missions this year. Can somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that? Amen? Now, I'm going to tell you what. If your daughter spun around, you clap better than that. I said, we're going to give 10% of our income to missions this year as a church. Amen? We almost did that. We almost did that in 2018. We will do that in 2019. We will add 5 new life groups to our life group ministry. If you're in a life group and you just have an inkling that maybe you should lead a life group, this is your year. We will update our facility with new carpet, with an updated kitchen and a new sign. The inside of our building is going to testify to the world that we care about this place and we care about what Jesus is going to do in this place. We will continue to reach out to our community through events like Easter Extravaganza and Trunk or Treat and Cabot Fest and water outreach and every door the Lord opened. We're going to reach out to our community. Cabot, Arkansas will know that the assembly exists to tell them about the love and the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? We're going to do that this year. We are going to partner with a local church in Ecuador this year to build a feeding stations where over every Friday, dozens of kids that don't have food elsewhere will be fed by a local mission. That same building is going to train pastors on a weekly basis. And on Sunday, that building will be used at the local church. This year, we're going to do that. We're going in September. If you want to go with us, we'd love for you to go with us. We'll be telling about that later. And this year, we're going to reach out to our friends by encouraging every one of us to reach someone, to reach somebody with the love of Jesus Christ. Did you know that 80% of believers, 80% of Christians never share their faith with one lost person? They live their whole life and they never tell anyone about the good news of Jesus. We're going to change that this year as a church. Amen. That will not be the stat of us as a body of Christ. So, we're not going to be a catalyst by sitting back. We're not going to be a catalyst by watching and waiting. We're going to have to invest. So this year, I'm challenging you. Let's pray. Amen. Let's invest prayer. Let's stretch and strive to see these things come to pass. Let's invest in relationships. Let's invest in love. Let's invest time. Let's be the change agent that God's asking us to be. And yes, as you heard me say some of those things, this transformation requires money. It costs money to reach the person around the world. It costs money to reach the person down the street. Do you know that? It does. So this morning I'm asking you to give. The proposed investment of everything you've heard us talk about today, ministering overseas with support. You know, right now we support 26 different missionaries. We didn't even say that. Right now we already support 26 different missionaries. All those things that you saw on the board of what we gave last year, we want to do that plus more. We want to update some of our facility so that you take the local missions and the global missions, you put those amount together, that comes up to $110,000 that we're going to give this year to Vision 2019 with the help of Jesus. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for that? Amen. And here's the deal. I'll tell you, like my pastor told me as a kid, we've already got the money. It's just in your pocket. So here's, I'm asking you to do two things. We want to jumpstart this Vision 2019, this $110,000. We want to jumpstart that this morning. We're trusting God to raise $15,000 today to jumpstart that. Well, Pastor, how are we going to do that? Well, on this front step, there are cards that are labeled from $25 to $175. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seats, come up and take a card, or two, or three, however many you want to give, how much you want to do. And what is on this card is how much you're saying, I will give today.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.